Good morning, down to brass tacks.
Morning, Miss Fine.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm fine. I just want to make two quick contributions to the program this morning.
Go ahead.
Is it correct in saying that that you're a political scientist as well?
Yes.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this question first. What do you think, to your mind, what do you think this election is being run for 6 weeks? From the point of view, my point of view is that with all this COVID that we concern about, do you think we need to have a by-election in the constituency where the voters registration? I don't think there are 8,000 people in there. I don't know. I must say, I don't know.
Do you think there needs to be a by-election?
No, I think there's a need to be a by-election, yeah, because there's a state vacant for parliamentary representatives to represent the area.
Okay.
But my concern is, why have a by-election that is 6 weeks long in the sense? And most of the times when you get a general election, you probably get 21 days in the general election to get results in the general election.
So you're saying it should be less time?
I think it should be less time. Mm-hmm. Taking into consideration all this, the concerns we have about the COVID-19 and, you know, going at home and people mixing and community spread and such. Like, my thing is, why is it taking 6 weeks? And then what, to your mind, will be the cost of this general election when everything is settled?
What will be the call of the general election, as in
the
timing?
The cost of the by-election.
Yeah. I have no idea what the cost would be, so I can answer that one straight off the bat. I think if we consider
you
that...
You don't want to speculate. Uh-huh.
No, I don't want to. I think that if we are focusing on COVID-19, there may be some benefit in having more time, because we don't want people congregating too much. We don't want too many people going from house to house. So perhaps, and this is speculation again, perhaps a longer time frame allows for some of this spacing and distancing to occur. And it can be viewed as giving some of the minor parties a chance to actually do their canvassing in a way that makes sense in light of COVID-19. That's one perspective. The other view, as you mentioned, is that we should get this out of the way relatively quickly, because we don't want 6 weeks of a lot of canvassing and congregating and the like. I'm hoping that those who are canvassing will be responsible and will do the social distancing, won't be hugging up and kissing people and this kind of business. So we'll see. I think they had 90 days. 6 weeks
is reasonable
within there.
But you really think the government will give an opposition for a reason of giving the opposition hope of success? I'm just saying, to my mind, there's something else.
I don't think it's just to give the opposition hope of success. But perhaps this is the length of time the government believes they need to ensure that the constituency is familiar enough with their candidate. So this is the BLP.
Oh.
And others will benefit from this as well. And we, as I said, have to remember that people shouldn't be having all of these mass meetings that are very compact. So perhaps a longer time frame allows for this. But
right now,
I really can't say how this decision was made. That's just my guess.
Yeah, but right now you're seeing the government with the same mass meetings, a whole set of mass meetings, a whole set of people into the constituencies. I guess all candidates would do that. So I'm just concerned
that
if we're talking
about
community spread,
it's
dangerous over the period of time that is given for this by-election.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I want to raise quickly with you, too, is that the you mentioned about some program being given with parents going into schools or SIS. Earlier you were talking about it. I remember years ago there was something called the Parent Volunteer Program, and that was being administrated by the National Council of Parents Teachers Association. Mm-hmm. And a stipend funding was given to the association to assist the parents, a stipend. So what I'm saying, this is nothing new. I don't know how much money is being paid now. And I agree that if you had persons who served the school previously as volunteers, once they are qualified, well, they will have to qualify, because there's no way a principal will keep a parent in school that is not doing the right thing. So I'm saying the persons that volunteer their services should be the ones who are now elected or selected to continue and be paid the stipend, because it's just a stipend. It can't be a salary in a sense. It's just a stipend. So I'm just saying that this program is nothing new, and I would support those parents who volunteer before to be given the opportunity to be paid at this point in time. Okay?
All right.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, all too. Right. Have a good day.
Right. You too, ma'am.
Good morning. Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Hi, Mrs. Hines. I want to discuss at least two things with you. One is political, and one is about this COVID, this whole COVID incident and visitors coming in and such like. Right. Now, if I hired you to work in a restaurant, a modern-day restaurant, and when you came in, I gave you a piece of rock that was sharpened on one end to cut meat, what would you think?
I would think it's not a very good restaurant.
Right, and you would think that the tools that you should be, if you didn't have any and you came into a restaurant, you would expect to find knives and such like.
I would hope right? so, yeah.
Right, exactly. And I think that the Ministry of Health spoke about it, but we have not been given any updates or any time frames. This also goes into, as far as I'm concerned, to governance as well.
Any updates or time frames for?
For the implementation of the COVID app and
the app.
Yes, the app and the waterproof bracelets that are anklets that they said that they were going to acquire.
Okay.
Now, I think these tools are important if we are going to continue to try to restart our tourism industry, because we know it's important. Everybody can say, oh, don't let the visitors come in, this kind of stuff. But in the short term, we need it to work. If we're talking about transforming our economy and making it more diversified and stuff like that, that's all great. But in the short term, we need it to work. Mm. And we need the tools.
Okay.
Right? I'm going to suggest that we need the tools, and we need a time frame on the app and the bracelet. Now, the reason why I want the time frame is that plenty of things by both governments, and I don't want anybody to call after me and say I'm being political. I am not being political. I care nothing about the both political parties on that level.
That doesn't mean you're not being political, though. But go ahead.
Well, I see what you're saying, but I'm saying that, you know, it's not an attack on the BLP. It's not an attack.
Yeah,
on
it's
the
not
thing.
Partisan.
I'm saying that generally, you're not partisan. Generally speaking. And I understand why sometimes they don't want to give time frames, but we need to mature and grow past that.
Right.
Time frames are important. I've never seen soon, in the sometime in the future on a calendar, nor a clock.
True.
And we need time frames. Mm-hmm. We need time frames to have realistically, so we know whether we meet the target and whether we need to reset it and whatever the case may be, because there are things that we don't control. There might be a manufacturing part needed, whatever. The government doesn't control that. But we need a time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And we need a time frame of when the app is going to be available. Because personally, I don't really... Writing down... When somebody goes into a restaurant and writing down the name and the address, and that's time-consuming.
Yeah.
That's time-consuming. When we could easily have the app. You have to enter this restaurant. You have to have this app on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want to put
the app
on your phone,
privacy concerns?
Fine.
Relating to this, though, that we will be constantly
right.
tracked.
There are some privacy concerns, and I could understand that, but you don't have to enter the restaurant. You don't have to enter the store. You can go back at your house and cook your food.
So you have two choices, be monitored yeah. constantly or stay at home.
Yes, because the monitoring is important. It's not nobody cares about whether or not you're going with the outside woman or the outside man or whatever you're doing. Nobody cares about that. This is about a general health concern as far as we know. Anyone can have any kind of conspiracy theory about where the virus comes from and all that kind of stuff. I could have many conspiracy theories as well, but I was not in the board meeting when they decided to launch the virus. So
well,
I don't know.
Don't we have things in place, though, that deal with people's information to ensure that information is secured? So although I understand how an app could be useful and easily developed, there are some security measures that I think may cause this to take some time, because we don't want to have a system in which people's movements are constantly tracked and someone could easily hack into this because it is not adequately secured.
Understood. Mm-hmm. Understood. But again, give us a time frame.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, something soon in the future is not a time.
All right.
You know, tell us, okay, it's the developer's app to put the appropriate protocols in place, because especially when you have people coming from Europe, we know there is a serious, anytime we breach information with especially persons coming from Europe, that European Union will be looking to put a fine on you.
Exactly.
Understood. All this is understandable. But give us a time frame.
Okay. Well, you understand one of the reasons people don't like to give a time frame, because if they can't meet it, this can easily be used politically to say, oh, the government said they were going to do this by the 20th of November, and it's now the 1st of December, and it hasn't been done.
Right, understand. Mm-hmm. But we also claim to be educating our public, and our public needs to mature as well.
Okay.
Understand what time frames are about, that things go wrong. It happens to all companies all around the world, and they come back and reset them. But when you look 20 years down the road at the company that always give dates and time frames and stuff, yes, they would have missed a whole set of them, but look at the growth that they would have made because they had these targets and time frames.
Okay. And you had another point you wanted to make.
Right. So my next point now is that I want to agree with you. Sometime when you first started moderating, you had brought up a concern about us having a fixed election date and stuff like that. And I want to agree with you on that. In terms of our maturing as, and I heard you mention it a couple times today about our maturing politically. And for me, I find that we have stagnated, and I am not impressed.
Mm.
You know, and I want to say that one of the things for me personally, I would feel that we were moving in that direction if we were seriously having a conversation about a fixed election date, where we know this is what it is. You know, you would have, there has to be a little bit of flexibility in there in case something crazy happens. We understand that. But generally, I would want a fixed date.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want the ruling party to decide, oh, let me just call a general election. No.
Mm-hmm.
No, because it's to their advantage. It's not to the country's advantage.
Yeah. I think there are benefits in having a fixed date. I think there may also be benefits in having some flexibility, so that an election cannot be called before, let's say, at least 3 years have passed into a government's term. And this then would give other parties at least 3 years to prepare themselves. So I think that's a kind of in-between approach. If you still want to give this ability to ring the bell, then you can do this, but you have to stay in power for 3 years. You can't just call an election in a year, in 18 months, to try and manipulate the system if you think that other parties are not yet ready. So
yeah.
I think there are some approaches that we could consider, but all of this would require us to rethink our constitution in more substantive ways than just deciding that we are going to move to a republic within a year or so. So that is one constitutional change, but it may be a somewhat superficial one. And I think we are at the point where we, again, can consider how we want to be governed and how we want our political system to work. But this requires all of us to really be interested in this. If a lot of people think that the system is serving them or enough people as it is, I believe it will continue to exist as it does.
Yes, I have to agree with you on that. And me and you might want one thing, but if 75% of people in Barbados happy with it, then it's just not going to change.
Yeah, they like it. Some people like it this way.
Yeah, you know. But I would use the word upset, but I'm not upset, emotionally upset, is that people would say one thing but then complain, you know. And then when you bring a different view onto how we could go, they don't want to do it. But then they want to complain. And I don't want to be complaining. I just want to put, ideas on the table and let's trash them out. Because I'm not saying that my idea is right or perfect or whatever, but let's have the discussion. Let's go through the process so we can move forward.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. Yes, thank you too.
All right, take care. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. This is Christina Hines. I'll be with you until 2 in the afternoon. Just to tell you all a little bit about what we're seeing on the WhatsApp, there are some people who have been providing some information about villas and those coming from high-risk and medium-risk countries. One of the things that I've seen here is that security personnel and cameras are required for approved villas. And there are also some suggestions that those who may have concerns and fears over having guests may want to consider closing their villas for a time. Let's go to the phones. Good morning, Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, yes. I was listening to the lady who was speaking about the villa earlier.
Yes.
And I thought she was irresponsible.
Okay.
The reason I think she was irresponsible is that she's the owner. She knows the rules. She knows the dangers of the COVID, and she knows the guest is at her place, and she has the right to tell them what they can do and what they cannot do. She know that if the person, if she don't want to tell the person, don't leave, and she see them leaving, she has a duty to call the authorities. And I think she is the person that's wrong. And I'm saying that because my daughter, she works at a hotel, and where she works, they have a special area for when the guests come in. You know, they have to be there for the first, until they get the second test, and they all have to stay in that area. They cannot leave to go anywhere. They have to stay there, and the only way they can move from there and go then and mix with the other guests is when they get their second test at the Ministry of Health say, well, you are clean to go. So I think she is being very irresponsible.
Okay.
She's very irresponsible, and she knows better than that.
So you're saying the onus is on the villa owners and those who own accommodation and manage them to ensure that the guests are acting appropriately.
It is their duty.
Okay.
She knows that too. I was shocked to hear she said she just watched people walk out. So if you see them walk out and you know you can't say anything to them, you don't feel she should call the authorities then.
Okay. Well, that's a recommendation for anyone who has a property. If you see something going wrong, you don't think you can control it, perhaps you should call the authorities.
That goes even for people in the district.
Yeah.
If somebody's supposed to be self-quarantined or isolated, whichever, sometimes it makes up the words. Whichever it is, and you know the person is not supposed to leave, call the authorities. Nobody don't want their family to catch this thing. So then you protect your neighbor and you protect everybody around. If everybody protect everybody around them and everybody do what they are supposed to do, it can't spread because it will be confined to where it is. But I find that a lot of people are alarmists, you know? It's like they're just trying to put this thing out of proportion because the government said we don't have community spread. But if you go on Facebook every day, you will see people who are supposed to be responsible saying it's a lie, saying the people telling lies. They don't believe the government. I don't understand how people get these things in their heads. Why would the government want to lie to the people?
Wow.
Why would the government want the country be filled? Because it will look bad on the government if this thing spread. Listen to the people in authority who know what they're speaking and start listening to propaganda. That's just what most people have to do. But I find that a lot of people like to alarm people and just have there are a lot of people who are generally scared. And to hear some of the things that you hear every day or to go on Facebook and these social media sites and read some of the things and see who writes them. A lot of them is just alarming people and trying to scare people. And a lot of them I see who are saying these things, they know better. They know better. But sometimes if you are not for the government, I don't know if you prefer to see the government fail. If the government fail, the whole country fail. It's nonsense.
Okay.
Nonsense. That's the first thing. The other thing now is about the flood. I want to know if after all of this flooding and, you know, so many places, we see where the water is settling, if the government send people around to see, well, in this district, here, flood, the water settled here, and mark all these places where they know the places flood. Look and see if there are wells that want cleaning, gutters want cleaning. All this is work for people. All of this is work for people. I find that sometimes we just don't do the things we're supposed to do because we know yesterday, you can see from yesterday, a lot of the places where the flooding is, just we have people that are DEA, the district organization people, that their job is to, like, open the places, like, for the hurricane and all that. They should have another job. They would know in their individual district, the places that flood and all of these things, All of this is something that we should be marking out, and when it gets dry, fix the place. All the places probably will not be, it will not be alleviated from all the places. We know that will happen, but it will minimize. And if we hire people to keep the place clean, you know, and stop letting the grass sometimes grow too high, and stop cutting the grass and leaving it, because the government is responsible for some of this flooding too, you know, because they get people to read the side of the road and then don't pick up the grass.
Yes.
Stupidness. Mm-hmm. When you finish weed, from the time that grass is there, it should be moved. It should be left. It okay. should not be left. And bobcats moving the grass. Bobcats doing some of this work now. People okay. say over and over, when they had donkey carts, it was moved. Why it can't be moved now? Stupidness too. Clean the place.
All right, so we need to keep our surroundings clean. We can employ people to do this. We know the areas that are flood prone, and we can be proactive in addressing them. Yeah.
There's so many wells in Barbados. If you're from the country, you will know that all in the plantation cane grounds and all over the place, wells are there. Are they being kept? Are they being cleaned? Look for all of these things and just fix the place up. Barbados is a little 2x3 country. When you look and see it in the United States and England, one province, we could fit in some of these places. Well, we could fit in Guyana probably 10 times. Mm-hmm. Clean the place, and that's all it costs for.
Okay.
Brand. Use the brand.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Morning, Dr. Hines.
Good morning to you.
Before I go on to make my contribution, I would want you to say hello to Ricky from Horn at the Signal Station Report, my former colleague.
Okay, maybe he's hearing you now.
Yeah. Good guy, that.
Okay.
Anyway, Doc, this is what I want to say, right, is if I hear a moderator and a caller yesterday talking about who would take the mantles of the opposition if one of the people beat Ms. Moore in the next election.
Okay.
I want to say, and I want you to tell me if I'm right or wrong, because you're a political analyst, a scientist. If Reefer, Mr. Leslie Reefer, was to beat Ms. Tony Moore.
Floyd Reefer?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Floyd Reefer. If he was to beat Ms. Tony Moore, wouldn't he become the official opposition leader?
I don't think so. Not automatically.
Well, let me tell you what I heard.
Okay.
Coming out of Parliament.
All right.
If Leslie Reefer was to beat Tony Moore.
Floyd Reefer.
Leslie Reefer would... Hello?
Floyd Reefer?
Yeah, Floyd, not Leslie, mm-hmm. Floyd. He would automatically become the official opposition leader because he would have been coming directly from a party, and as opposed to Mr. Adderley, who formed a party having gone to Parliament from another party. That's why we're saying coming directly out of Parliament. That's why here. I could have heard the wrong thing, but that's why I'm sure you heard. And if that is the case, Mr. Reefer would assume the office of the opposition leader and all the other perks and things that goes along with the opposition leader, Mr. Reefer would get. And he would also get members for the Senate. The question really is...
I don't think this is automatic. I believe there's a case to be made for this, especially because it would be one candidate from each party. So neither one of them would have a majority in terms of the support of the parties not in power, right?
No, but...
So the Governor General is the one that makes this decision. The Governor General appoints the leader of the opposition as well as the Prime Minister.
So, yeah, but the difference, mm-hmm. The difference, Dr. Hines, is this.
Yes, tell me.
The difference is this, and I know this is where you're coming from, the politicians.
Mm-hmm.
If Mr. Reefer wins, he wins because he come into Parliament directly from a party, and the party that he's coming from, which would be the DLP, will get the $150,000 that is due for any party that come to Parliament and was not, and the party that was formed while, the other party that was formed while in Parliament wouldn't get any money. That's why the Prime Minister told Mr. Ali, not one red thing.
Okay, I think it is possible. It's within the realm of possibility. Let's put it that way. However, yeah. It will not automatically transfer. The election will not happen one day, and then the leader of the opposition will be changed. This is a decision that would have to be made, and we can't. We don't know what decision will be made. And we don't even know if Mr. Rifa will win. So this may be just a lot of, you know, imagination.
But you know. the other thing I want to also mention to you, Doc, I heard you and the gentleman just now saying we'll fix election date.
Yeah.
But I would prefer to say a fixed election day as opposed to the date. Because you might say, well, let's have election the 23rd of each November, November every 5 years.
Right.
And that 23rd of November each 5 years could change. It could fall on a Sunday. So what I prefer to hear, what I prefer to happen, because I'm for fixed elections too, I prefer to say, well, let's have our election every last Monday in April or every last Monday in whatever on the time that elections should be due. You with me?
I am.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. I prefer a day as opposed to a date.
Okay, because fair enough, because the date could fall on a Sunday or something.
Right. And the day would be a fixed day.
Right. Well, I don't think this is something to quibble over, really.
No, of course not.
Right.
Of course not.
But I think the sentiment is similar. And just a clarification in terms of your last point, the House does not recognize parties if we're thinking about who will be the leader of the opposition. So it really is the individual that has support and that has been selected by the Governor General.
All right, let me move on.
Some months ago,
I was saying that Barbados should prepare themselves for what I feel would be the shipping companies showing some kindness to Barbados for Barbados, the Prime Minister and this country accommodating them in the time when all the other ports turned the back.
Cruise ships.
On these cruise ships, yeah.
Right?
So I was saying that Barbados should prepare themselves because I am absolutely sure, I work in shipping almost all my life, and I am absolutely sure that something good is going to happen for Barbados. And what has even raised that flag higher for me is the fact that Barbados has won the prestigious cruise ship, International Cruise Ship Award from Sea Trade, which is probably the highest body recognizing cruise ships and shipping and that kind of thing. But the other problem to that is this. To go on any ship, you have to have a certificate called STCW, right? And in Barbados, they teaches that certificate at the Sammy Jackman Prescott Polytechnic.
Mm-hmm. SJPI, go ahead.
SJPI, right? Mm-hmm. Thanks for the correction. But to do that certificate, you got to do some other Marine course out there. And after the Marine course, according to what I was told from those people out there, and that Marine course lasts a year. After that, you got to do, that's when you get a chance to do the STCW, right? And I'm saying that won't change in because the STCW only takes one single week to complete. And then we have qualified people from CMI, Caribbean Maritime Institute, or from the IMO, International Maritime Institute, that could come to Barbados and correct the papers so that people in the space of just over we can get the certificate.
So you want to encourage people to do the certification?
Yes.
Okay.
And I want the government to facilitate these people who are interested in doing the certificate.
Okay. You think this will bring benefits to the country in terms of employment and opportunities? Okay.
And foreign exchange.
Foreign exchange.
And all that. And I believe that's one of the ways that the government can go by preparing these young... Look, a shipping agent called me recently and asked me to get some men for them. Three cooks to work on these tankers. They got some really beautiful, large tankers. And they could only get one man. And his STCW certificate was outdated. And for him to get a job now, he would got to go to the Samuel Jackman Prescott Institute. Mm-hmm. And he can't get in there to get his certificate renewed.
Okay.
so he can't get a job. And I'm saying that, that there's too much red tape dealing with small issues in this country. That is something that should be straightforward, that you could go out there, apply, even if you've got to pay a fee, apply and get your certificate. In 1974...
That's an interesting suggestion.
Yeah, in 1974, I did my able-bodied seaman certificate, my lifeboat certificate, my firefighting certificate. And I had a man, a gentleman from Trinidad named Victor Maturin, Captain Victor Maturin. He came to Barbados and spent a couple of days and corrected the papers and went back to Trinidad. I am saying that something similar can happen because you got people in Trinidad that is qualified to correct these STCW papers and people in Jamaica, you know, that can correct these papers mm-hmm. from the Caribbean Maritime Institute, CMI.
So you're thinking that these courses can be put on outside of SJPI as well to allow people to be certified and then to pick up certain types of employment? Or
yeah, if the government would allow that, right. that's fine. Mm-hmm. But seeing that the SJPI have, since they have a class going for seafarers,
yes.
I think it's best to do it there because okay. all the seafarer knowledge is there. So why not do it there? But the government will have to facilitate these people that will go there to do this course. It only lasts one single week, Miss mm-hmm. and Dr. Hines.
Mm-hmm.
So I am saying that we got to prepare. The people know all for us. And if you listen to the guy who spoke in Europe, when after the award was given or issued to Barbados, he said that Barbados went, well, he didn't say indeed. I can't quote him verbatim, but I can almost quote close to what he was saying. Mm-hmm. He said that Barbados was very kind to the cruise ship industry, and that they have not forgotten, and my argument all the time is that we got to prepare our local seamen for any eventuality. That okay. is the point I'm making, and a part of that preparation is to let the Samuel Jackman Prescott Institute open a class where it can that STCW class can be taught within a week, mm-hmm. and we can train about 300 or 400 people and get them prepared. When the people call for staff to work on these ships, they will be prepared.
Okay. Well, thank you for that suggestion. I love suggestions. I'm not sure if SJPA has the capacity, but if they do, perhaps someone will take that on board. And it's good to have different options, especially now when we are thinking about the high unemployment level in Barbados. What can people do in order to reskill, find different types of work to do, maybe things outside of the norm? So thank you for that. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How about you?
Fine. frankly speaking, it seems as if the opposition parties have run scared.
Which opposition party are we talking?
Parties.
Mm-hmm.
And they also seem as though they're not prepared for the upcoming by election.
Why would you say that though? It doesn't look so to me.
It looks so to me. Mm-hmm. Because they have not even raised one single issue yet. All they are doing is complaining and they're backing out. They're finding fault. They are backing out. They are finding fault.
But this is an election within a single constituency. So what right. kind of issue would you expect to have raised?
Well, I heard Mr. Pisa said she's not letting the government get away. Basically, well, I'm using my word here, with what the government have done, she's not letting it get away, even although it's a COVID environment. So I'm saying they have not pinpointed anything that raised a single issue. I find that they're finding false. Why are the elections held in this period and things like that? That's false finding to me. And they're backing down. Because like what they brought up really petered out. It's basically non-issues. Like when they're putting saying things like that the Labour would be the biggest loser if the BW General Secretary is elected to the lower house. I mean, come on, where we go with this now? Sir Gradley Adams founded the BW in 1941. That's 79 years ago. Ever since then, trade unionists were MPs in the Parliament of Barbados. And you know what is strange? Most of them were DLP members. I don't know where they're going with it.
Well, right? Maybe they think things should change.
Things should change with what?
Well, I don't know. Are things not subject to changes? Is everything that was have to continue to be?
No, it don't, but it's nothing new. That's point that I'm making.
That's the point I'm making, too. It's nothing new, and perhaps the suggestion is that we need something new that moves away from this old commingling of labor representation and government. I don't know. Perhaps I am speculating here, but some people may think that.
Yeah, but they may think that, but they have not put a case for it. They're saying that SG, that labor loser, when you got something over 70-80 years, you can run off at 80 years, that proven is test of time. The parliament is the decision-making body in the country. So all the former trade unionists made their mark, and that's where the laws of Barbados are made. So you could only change things from the inside.
Maybe.
You can only change things from the inside. You could talk and you could suggest on the outside. But when you get in the decision-maker forum, you could then enact change.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that intervention.